Peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was Christmas Eve, 1914, just over 100 years ago. World War I was raging. 1 million men had died on the battlefields of France. When, at many places along the front lines, the shelling and shooting died away. In the quiet singing of hymns in German from the German trenches, and then in English also from the German trenches. Candles were lit. Then out of the trenches ventured a brave few, then more. Troops met in the middle of no man's land, shook hands, shared food. Mementos were given, haircuts were given, cigars were smoked, and a soccer game was played. For 24 hours, the most forsaken place on earth experienced peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace. We long for it here, especially at Christmas time when we are reminded over and over. It's interesting, and you may or may not know, the most domestic situations where the police are called are on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Peace. Peace. We are not at a world war, but there are times when it feels like we might be. Christmas time has a way of scrooging peace right out of our lives. Expectations, people, stuff, finances, worry, they all take shots at our soul. They steal our peace, yet we still long for it. We are in a sermon series called Who is Jesus? We are looking at the book of John, and beyond just asking who is Jesus, I like to ask, so what? What's that matter for you and I? We are focusing on our identity in Christ. Even in December, we're studying the beginning of the Gospel of John, the fourth gospel, and this morning we're going to explore the what, where, and how of peace. And we're going to look to apply, as I've been doing in this series. I like to give you the application up front. Last week we talked about hope, that hope comes by prayer. This week we're going to see that peace flows from a pursuit of Jesus. So turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through half of verse 4. And I love Kurt and the worship team almost every Sunday. You don't realize it, it's really sneaky. They preach my sermon in song. And that's a skill. And I want to thank them for that. Todd got up and read the passage, and it's neat when we come here on Sunday, sometimes how the Lord, intentionally and unintentionally, weaves things together. John chapter 1, 1 through the first half of 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has not come into being. In him was life. What is peace? What is peace? Our English word for peace has the connotation of no fighting or not being at war, but it's very one-dimensional. If I may, it's wimpy. In the Hebrew, the Jewish word for peace is shalom. It's much more full. It's richer. It is like when I come in here on some Mondays and Tyler Warner has fixed the coffee. I'm like, yes, today is going to be a good day because Tyler knows how to make coffee versus that Keurig machine. It's okay. Like, I will drink it because I need the caffeine. But Tyler's coffee, oh, it's a good day. It's the same with the word peace compared to shalom. Wikipedia, I'm sorry to all English teachers and professors, Wikipedia states that shalom is peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. I'll take shalom, please. In the Hebrew, and I really like this, the term shalom they would actually use for hello and goodbye. It was that encompassing of life. It permeated life. Here we see in verse 1 that the writer ties, in the beginning, he ties back into Genesis like Todd did. He ties into the Old Testament text, and we're reminded that we, as followers of Christ, have always been a people of the book. In verse 2, he expounds on the Logos, or the Word, and he declares Jesus to be divine. He is God. But I like what John Calvin notes, that now in verse 3, John declares he proves Jesus' deity in that Jesus created everything. He is the source of peace. Here in verse 3, we see that peace comes from a sovereign creator. Peace comes from a sovereign creator. Verse 3, this term come into being is repeated 3 times in this short verse, verse 3. First, it says it in a positive, that everything has come into being because of Jesus. And then it uses a negative. Nothing has come into being apart from Jesus. The fact that it's 3 times, anytime we see repetition in the text, the author is driving a deep stake. He doesn't want us to miss this. And yet, if we're honest, when most of us load up the book of John, we just buzz through chapter 1 because, whoa, that's kind of deep. Oh, give me a story. And we miss the weight that is here. The Word, Jesus, spoke life into existence. His creative power controls, orders, and holds together our world. The baby's hands that reach for Mary spread out the skies. He calls the stars by name. He has fixed time, gravity, our proximity to the sun, the seasons roll forth because of his command. And we were not impressed on the macro level, we look inward and we see DNA and that the cell structures work perfectly. Our circulation system, everything, the breath that we drew this morning. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. And you and I can breathe and not panic because he is in control of our world. Peace comes from a sovereign creator, and peace is always rooted in something. When Jesus hits the scene here in John, it was the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome that ruled the world, and Rome no longer exists. World War I ended with the Treaty of Versailles, because never again, they said, would there be a great war. World War II dwarfed World War I. Then closer to home and in the present day, we look for peace in our bank accounts, in our relationships, maybe in our good works, maybe our ability to control and order our lives. I get to fly every once in a while, and when I do, and I leave whatever hometown or city I'm in, if it's a clear day, I love going up and trying to find something that I recognize before we get too high. And every once in a while, I've been able to actually find my house, and I'll think, it's right there. And that little bitty patch, like a stamp, I'm like, that's my world, I control it. And you see everything else, and you realize how small we are. You see the sovereign creator, Jesus, controls our world, and because of that comes peace. Peace also comes from our life-giving sustainer. Look at verse 4. In him was life. Jesus spoke at creation, and he speaks life now. He spoke at the beginning, and he will speak at the end, but he is speaking in the in-between. Life is mentioned 36 times in the book of John. It is more than any other writer by double. The book that has the second most is also written by John. This idea of life, it links again to the Old Testament. We see in the Old Testament that wisdom is correlated to life. In the Torah, the first five books, the command also brings life. Deuteronomy 30:15 says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, his decrees, and his laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Life, live, blessing. Shalom. Shalom. I like in John 16:33, it points out that we can walk in the Spirit. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. I also like Peter's response. When everyone is leaving Jesus, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Will you leave me too?" And Peter speaks for the disciples, and he says, "Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus' sovereignty and his sustaining are the pillows for the Christian soul. It is the reason we can sleep at night. The picture is Jesus sleeping in the boat while the storm rages. I was thinking about this and personalizing it, and the first hurricane last year that came, I slept right through that puppy. It was awesome. Can't speak for Catherine, but I wasn't worried. I figured if the Lord was going to take me, whatever, come on. He knows our days. But it's fascinating that taking a new role here, there have been multiple times that I have lost sleep over staff or elders or the body or just the unknown. Peace brings rest to a weary soul. Jesus commands the storm. He speaks and it stills. Peace doesn't come easy though, does it? We worry, we stress, frustration, frazzled, fatigue, even at times, people will end their lives because of a lack of peace. There are three ancient enemies to peace, and I want to give credit where credit's due. This comes from a book called Live No Lies by John Mark Comer. These three ancient enemies sabotage our peace. They are the flesh, the devil, and the world. Let's start with the flesh. Often our passions forge fetters. They bind us and shackle us. And when we misplace our identity in other things, for peace, we can look to relationships for peace, to success, to sex, to bank accounts, to stuff, to intelligence, to our acceptance and where we fit in. And yet our soul knows that all of these things at the end of the day, they're not necessarily bad, but they are unstable in the sense of they may not always be there. And therefore our peace is not guaranteed. The devil, Scripture calls him the father of lies. When we read John 1 and 2, 3 and 4, I always remember that two of the cults, both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, tamper with these verses. If you read what Joseph Smith in the Mormon Bible says, you come away with an idea of a Jesus that is less than. If you ever read the Jehovah's Witness Bible, it will say, in the beginning was a word, not the word. And as we live in a world that becomes more and more just anything goes, where the dividing line is who is Jesus? He is the King. He is the Son. He is the creator and sustainer of all life, nothing less. Then sometimes I think Satan muddies the water. Even within streams of Christianity, maybe we lean too heavy in tradition and Jesus takes a back seat. Maybe we get distracted by signs and wonders and again, Jesus takes a back seat. Or maybe we rely on leadership and success and Jesus takes a back seat. What about us? We are Trinity Bible Church. Can't go wrong there. Trinity Bible Church. Whoever named us did a good job. Where do we tend to stray and miss Jesus? Often I think we can major on our justification, the moment of salvation, of the grace and the mercy that are permanent and staying in our lives. And yet we fall down and minor on our sanctification, of joining in with Jesus and working to become more like him. We don't like that word work. We shy away. Yet if we are honest, if we are not growing in our identity with Jesus, we are missing peace in our lives. What about the world? We have got the flesh, we've got the devil and the world, and I tell you what, the world's a mess. I looked up Visions of Humanity. It's a nonprofit. It says that in the last couple of years that civil unrest globally has doubled. I don't know when they started tracking civil unrest, but apparently we're going the wrong direction. There are wars being fought that most of us aren't even aware of. Afghanistan, Ethiopia, and Yemen are all in civil wars right now. We could look south of the border, and in some ways there is an ongoing war south in Mexico because of drugs and power. There are rumors of war. If you look at the news, the question is, will China invade Taiwan, and who will go to what side? And if that's not enough, the European Union is concerned about Russia amassing troops on the border of Ukraine. Will Europe go to war again? Wars, rumors of war, and if that were not enough, there is just the human suffering. The slums of Africa are still wide open. The slums of India, the slums of Central America, poverty that most have never even seen. This morning, just for fun, I went on Fox News and then I went on CNN. I'm equal opportunity. I'd like to say fair and balanced, but I'd like to say just nuts. There was nothing good. There wasn't. And there won't be tomorrow when I wake up, and there won't be next week. The world does not have it figured out. Peace does not come naturally. Let's think closer to home. You know, for the last 10 years after Thanksgiving on Black Friday, I always think, I wonder how many people will get trampled at Walmart. We laugh, but 10 years ago, no one would have ever thought of that. You take that into calculation when you go shopping. I think I'll just buy from Amazon. You turn on the news and stores are being looted, or the Supreme Court is weighing in on abortion, but to go the other direction. You can read about shooters. Our kids are killing each other in school, and we pack up our kids and we send them, and we wonder. 2020 broke records for unrest in the United States. The New York Times and the Times in 19 said that from a global perspective, if talking about stress, Americans, 55% say they're stressed consistently versus 35% in the rest of the world. When it comes to worry, the numbers are 45% and 39%. I'm not sure the West has figured things out. And yet also good things steal our joy. That's out there. But these, by the way, are Catherine's weights, if you didn't know that. Like, this is about my speed if I bothered. But we worry about finances, and we overspend, and we stress. We worry about friends. You know, some of us are missing friends this year. And then some of us will be hurt by friends. We throw that in our bag, too. We worry about our family. We have great expectations on our families at this time of year, and then we have little grace. It's awesome. We want to have fun. So we have all the fun in December, and then we realize that we don't have enough money or time to have any more fun, and it's gone. We worry about the future. We fret and we fear. Our bank accounts are lower and the blues are coming in January. You all think the weather's bad. I think it's delightful. And then, if that wasn't enough, we buy stuff. We shove that in too. And then we take all that and we put it on us. And we walk around in December. And we wonder what the problem is. You know, I was wondering about this backpack, if it could hold 50 pounds. And I decided that if the bottom fell out, that would just be a good analogy of what actually happens in our lives. You know? And, I didn't even mention, but I need to work out more with my wife. I'm, like, winded. I had COVID last year, and I find that I do things, and I can still feel it, just if I didn't need something else to worry about. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we dropped that? And wouldn't our peace be different if we yoked up? Scripture says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Good things can sap our strength. Jesus is peace. Isaiah 9:6 calls him the Prince of Peace. He is our Creator from past time, and he is in the present, our Sustainer. And it gets better because he is coming again. Do you want to join me and grow in peace? Peace must be practiced. Sounds like an oxymoron, but it's true. Peace must be practiced. We must grow in our identity in Jesus. It is not natural to grow in peace. We pick stuff up and we put it in our bag. Peace will not come by osmosis. It takes work. There is a practice to be had, if you like, spiritual disciplines. But we tend not to like the word discipline because that is work. How about this? Rhythms that we can live our lives in. Rhythms of peace. Three of them I commend to you. And I, like you, am trying to practice them. The first, slow down. Slow down. Sounds too simple. You thought you were going to get something better. This didn't cost you anything. Slow down. What does that look like? Silence. Solitude. Sabbath. We are too busy. Hard things, good things, we are too busy. And we are distracted. You know, I find that I often look for peace in things. I'll find myself on the phone looking at my bank account. I'm like, stop it! Like, that brings peace. If it's not that, maybe it's academics. Or maybe it's my marriage, or it's the kids, or it's a career or ministry. There are so many things that we want to pour ourselves into and get busy and distracted. And these are good things, but the soul knows that peace, lasting peace, does not come from them. What would that look like? We'd probably first have to learn to put our devices down. Not away. We don't want to be too radical. Just put them down for a time. It will quiet your soul. It was like me going this morning to Fox News and CNN to find peace. It's a joke. You won't find it there. What else? How about a walk? Reminded Monty Python, I want to go for a walk. Being alone with your Creator. If you can get into the woods, it'll be so much better. But even if it's just around your neighborhood, you and God, that's good stuff, and we don't do enough of it. Silence, solitude, and Sabbath. Would you consider giving yourself 24 hours in a week where you don't work? You will find so much joy. I've been practicing this last year on Fridays. My phone goes into the drawer. It took a month to do that. I'd like go back to it, like, oh, what am I doing over here? Oh, that's the phone. And I go for walks. I sit on my back porch. I talk to my wife, but I do not do work. And if I'm tempted to do work, my wife's there. Is that work? She'll ask. It was about a month ago. It was one of the pretty day. It wasn't too hot. The sun was out. It was amazing. The big white poofy clouds were floating, and I was on my back porch, and I thought, had a crazy thought. I hadn't had it in 30 years. I thought, I'm going to climb up onto the kids' trampoline and lay on my back and look at the clouds. I thought, that's dumb. Then I thought, why not? Nobody's around. So I climbed up and I looked up and I thought, wow, look at that. And they just drifted. I thought, how big is God? And then I thought, when was the last time I did this? It had been 30 years. I had been probably an early teen on my back on a grassy knoll behind our house looking up at the clouds. Slow down. Second, if we want to grow in peace, we must learn to live light. Live light. We live in a culture of excess everywhere we look. We need to learn to live with less. We need to increase in simplicity. You see, even good things become idols. Work can become an idol. Do you know what the number one pastime in the U.S. is now? It is not sports. It is shopping. That's why my Amazon stock is doing so well. Thank you. Do you know here in Acadiana, I don't think it's shopping. I think the number one thing's food. Thank you. Stuff, hobby, anything can become an idol. Our hearts have a way of just looking to things for peace. I'm by nature a collector. If you haven't been able to tell last couple weeks, you're like, how does this guy have all this junk? Collector. I get it rightly. It comes from a grandparent down through a mom, and I'm scared. I've got a kid now that I think is entering into it. We're in trouble. And you know what I find? I worry about my stuff. I worry about it. And then sometimes I'm overwhelmed by it. This last year, since anytime you move across state lines, you get rid of as much junk as possible because you have to pay to move your junk. And you're like, is it worth it? So we had just moved, and I decided that I was going to get rid of 365 things in 2021. I was informed by Catherine it could not be the kids' things or her things. They had to be mine. And I was worried, like, I have 365 things. I did it. And I didn't have to get rid of a lot of my stuff. But you know what? Every time I'd send something packing, my soul would do a little dance. But every once in a while, true to form, Amazon Prime, Monday, Cyber Monday, anyone? I'd had a long week. I was in bed with my phone, feeling woes, scrolling through Amazon Prime, and I found a deal. Isn't this the coolest camping, backpacking air mattress you've ever seen in your life? I mean, they were almost giving them away. So I clicked buy, and you know what I felt? A little hit of dopamine. And I was like, I can go to bed now. I'm at peace. But then there was another side of my soul that said, where are you going to put that junk? Oh, I've got a place. Like, we've got a camping wall. But you don't backpack. I don't care. I want to. I have three boys. You don't even own a camping backpack. You'll have to buy another one. No, I bought it anyway. It showed up. I opened it up out of my bag here. It's great. Pulled it out. Immediately had buyer's remorse. What am I going to do with this junk? I thought I'm going to keep it for 20 years somewhere, but not use it. And then my wife found me. I was in the closet. I must have looked a little like Gollum, my precious. Poor Catherine. She's like, what's that? It's this awesome camping air mattress. You have a bad back. She goes, you're not going to be comfortable on that. That's one of the thin ones. I said, I don't care. I slept on it for a night. I just slept. I didn't even open it up. I just thought about it. And you know what? Amazon is so kind to me. Because these junk bags they send, you can just put this back in, and they've got like this second resealable, and Catherine can take it to Kohl's with all the other junk I buy, and it's not going to cost a dime to return it. And I am going to return it. Because my peace doesn't come through stuff. And I want to live a simple life so that I can enjoy my Savior. Because Jesus brings peace. Jeff Bezos gives the best analogies. Thanks, Jeff. How do we grow in peace? First, slow down. It's up to you. No one makes you go fast. Second, live light. And third, pursue the Word, because in the Word, you find the Word. Jesus, the Creator, the Word, spoke life into existence. In the end, Jesus will speak again, and the whole universe will bow. But in the in-between, it is His Word and His Spirit that ministers to you and I. If you want to grow in peace, grow in finding Jesus in the Word. I know I say this a lot, but I will keep saying it. For some, it's just apathy. Oh, I don't need that. I listen to you. Let's be real clear what we're doing right here. This is called a sermon snack. That's it. That's it. Sometimes, I think on the other side, just not being in it, we're in it so much that we get in a rut. Like, we've done so many Bible studies, I have my quiet time. If you're seeing Jesus, you can't get enough. And could it be that the practice is distracting us from the person? The problem is, if we miss Jesus, we miss life. If we do not find the Word, we are losing life now, and it leads to death. Fascinating that the last death in World War I was a man named Henry Gunther. The war, the armistice was to start at 11 a.m., November 11th, 1918. That's where we... And at 10:59, 1 minute before it started, Henry Gunther charged a German machine gun pit. The Germans tried to wave him off because they knew the armistice was coming in 1 minute. Henry fired 2 shots, and when he got too close, a burst of machine gun fire ended his life. You see, he did not get the Word, and it cost him his life. I don't know where you're at, and there's a spectrum here. Some of you, it's baby steps to get in the Word. Maybe it's the Advent reading. Maybe it's 15 minutes a day. I ran into a great app. I think one of the staff was talking about it. It's called First 15. I don't know how putting down your phone and doing an app, you can figure it out. But the habit is to know Him. That's the end game. Maybe you have been in the Word and consistent and you're good, the discipline's there, then I would ask, the Word is not just for you and me. We become spiritually fat. Is there any overflow of Jesus into the lives of others? Maybe it's through a small group, maybe a Bible study. Maybe you need to go to a coffee shop or on a back porch and read the book of John with a friend and pursue Jesus together. You see, the discipline, the Word, silence, solitude, Sabbath, simplicity, is all there so that the desire grows. The Word is a person. As you and I fall deeper in love with Jesus, it is there that we find peace. As I was thinking about this idea of discipline and desire, I thought about Catherine and I and dating her. Early on in marriage, it was hard to go on dates, just the discipline of spending time with her and being intentional. We had no money and very little time. And then kids came, and that made it even harder. There were times when we would go on dates grumpy, not fun. My wife lifts weights. I'm a little afraid of her. But you know what? Over time, the habit, the discipline, the work, we've been married almost 18 years, and we now have a couple of teenagers. Hallelujah, are you kidding me? It's this weird time. But you know what it means? It means I can look at Catherine and say, let's get out of here. And the desire to spend time with her any time away from the kid. Let's go. You want to shop? You want to do appliances? Let's go eat. But the desire, the discipline has turned into a desire. And as we know each other, we trust each other more. And there is peace. It is no different in our pursuit of Jesus. If you want to grow in peace, grow in your pursuit of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, easier said than done. This morning, as your word has spoken, not me, but your word, as your spirit has nudged, and where it's been specific, Father, I ask that we would take action. Lord, we want lives of peace. We don't want to be like everybody else. We want lives that are whole and meaningful and filled with purpose. Lord, teach us. It's a process, but one step at a time. May we saddle up closer to Jesus. And Lord, may the peace that we find blow us away. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.